Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. He's so good. Amen. Hey, we're going to take a moment out of our service this morning. This is Memorial Day weekend. And we get to, even though our country is far from perfect, we've been a blessed nation. And we do enjoy a lot of freedom in our nation. And we enjoy the freedom to be able to gather together and worship Jesus today. That freedom, Memorial Day reminds us, came at a very high price. And many, many men and women have laid down their lives in defense of our nation. And we're going to take a moment right now to just have a moment of silence to remember fallen soldiers, police officers, firefighters, people that have laid down their lives in the service of our nation. And so let's do that right now, and then I'm gonna lead us in prayer. So let's just have a moment of silence this morning. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy in our nation. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather together today freely. And we can come into this place and we can lift up the name of Jesus. We give you praise. We thank you for our country, Lord. With all of its faults, with all of its shortcomings, we thank you for this great, great nation. And today, God, we remember that there are many that have laid down their lives in order to make this a great nation and in order for us to enjoy the freedoms that we share today. So we remember those individuals today. But Lord, as we open your word, we also remember that you laid down your life for us. And that you came not only that we might have freedom in the natural, but you came to set us free in our hearts, God. And only you could do that. So in this Memorial Day weekend, as we remember those who have laid down their lives this morning, we also remember Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that as your word is read today, as your word is studied today, God, that your word is going to set our hearts free. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Amen. Well, let's open God's word this morning. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll be there in just a moment. I want to mention a couple of things before we get into this. We're going to have a great summer as a church. We have some great things planned for this summer. I am so excited. And a lot of times in churches, we think, well, attendance goes down. It's kind of a summer slump. And yeah, attendance might dip down a little bit in the summer because people are taking their vacations or whatever. But I believe God wants to do something great in Bethel Church this summer. And we're going to have an awesome, awesome summer. These words just keep, and it's a phrase we've all heard before, but for some reason, these words just keep ringing in my spirit, and I believe that God is just saying this to me. And it's these words right here, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And I want you to just say that with me this morning. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And I want to believe that for my life. I want to believe that for your life, and I want to believe that for Bethel Church. And I want to believe that for the kingdom of God. I know it's true of the kingdom of God. Amen. The best is yet to come. So let me tell you about a couple of things that are happening this summer, really right at the very beginning of the summertime. This Thursday morning, we're having a gathering for men that we've called the Men's Battle Briefing. And this is a quarterly meeting. We just had one of them, and this is our second one. And this is a time for me as your pastor just to get together with the guys of the church. And this Thursday, I'm going to be sharing on how to resolve conflict in a godly way. How to resolve conflict in a godly way. Now, I know you guys are so godly, you never have any conflicts, but So it's probably more for me than anybody else. But this is an important topic, and so I want to encourage you to come. We'll have some coffee on for you, 6 o'clock, right out here in the cafe, 6 o'clock Thursday morning. And then I'm doing double duty on Thursday, because at 7 o'clock at night, I'm also going to be sharing with the college-age group. So you college-age group people, I'm so excited. Pastor Roger's going to lead worship. I'm going to share, and we're going to have a great time at college group Thursday night, so don't miss it. Now, what this means is if you're a man and you're college age, I expect you to see you at 6 in the morning and at 7 at night, all right? Because I'll be there, so you need to be there too. Next Sunday, we're starting a series on the life of David, and this is going to carry us all through the summer, but it's called Standing Tall in Tough Times. And it's going to be a series through 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles if you want to start reading ahead. And we're going to take some of those great stories from the life of David, the ups and downs of his life, and we're going to teach on those on Sunday mornings. And you're going to find there's going to be something every single week. There's going to be something in the message for you, because David, even though he was a king, he went through the exact same battles you and I face today. And so we're going to launch that series next Sunday, and that's going to take us pretty much through the entire summer, Standing Tall in Tough Times. This morning, I'm so excited about this message. I want to talk to you this morning about our spiritual authority in Christ, the authority that we have in this life through Jesus Christ. And I want to challenge you this morning to take spiritual authority over every area of your life. I want you to take a hold this morning of who you are in Jesus Christ and all that you have through Jesus Christ. You see, for many, many Christians, they kind of see their Christian experience as, I prayed the sinner's prayer and I got my ticket to heaven, and now I'm just waiting to go to heaven. And that's sadly the way a lot of Christians live their lives. I got my ticket, I'm ready to go, now I'm just waiting to go. But how many of you know the Christian life shouldn't be anything like that? Amen? This life, God uses this life to get us ready for everything that He has for us for all eternity. So what happens here and now, day to day, 24/7 in our lives, it matters. It counts. And I believe that God wants us to live in a much higher level of victory than many of us experience day to day. We're not supposed to be just waiting around for Jesus to come back. I'm thankful for heaven. I'm looking forward to heaven. But God wants us to experience His power and presence right now. Amen? I mean, experiencing the love of God in heaven is going to be awesome. But how many of you know we can experience the love of God right now? Right? The victory that we're going to have in heaven is going to be fantastic, but God wants to give us victory now, today. The presence of God in heaven is going to be amazing, but we can enjoy and experience the presence of God right now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy the presence of God. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy victories in all of these different areas of our lives. So I'm gonna get you thinking this morning before we get into the Word. I want you to think about this question, all right? And this is just between you and God, okay? I want you to think about this question this morning. How comfortable are you with the level of victory you are currently experiencing? Okay? How comfortable are you right now with the level of victory that you're currently experiencing? So I want you to think about the core areas of your life and ask yourself, am I really living in victory in this area of my life? The core areas of life, your thoughts, your emotions, the things that are coming out of your mouth, your speaking, your words. Your heart, what's going on in your heart? Are you comfortable with the level of victory you're experiencing in these different areas. Your relationships with other people, if you're married, in your marriage. Your sexuality, your home life, your finances, how things are going with your personal finances, your habits, your thought life, all of these key areas of your life. Because these are all arenas of your life where the devil would just love to bring chaos and confusion, but where God wants to bring order and peace and victory and life. Jesus said this in John 10:10. He said, the thief, that's the devil, comes to do what? Kill and steal and destroy. But he said, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full, or have abundant life. This abundant life is not something we just wait for in heaven. This abundant life is something Jesus intends for us right now. Amen? So this morning, I want to share some key thoughts with you about how to have victory in these different areas of your life, okay? How to have victory right now. How to start taking spiritual authority right now in your life. Now, I thought of a little illustration this morning. I am not a video gamer by any means. I don't really enjoy it that much, and plus I'm terrible at it whenever I've tried it. Not really a video game person, but those of you who are video game people, you know a little about this, and I just barely, I really don't even know what I'm talking about here. But I understand in video gaming, there's something called a cheat. Has everybody heard of that? A cheat. A cheat is something, you learn a secret code. Am I right, video gamers? Okay. You learn a secret code, right, that lets you, like, win at different levels. And unless you know that code, you don't have, you know, certain powers, right? All right? Okay. Got some front row people here helping me out. Okay? So these are cheats. Like, if you know the secret code, you can win. All right? So I'm telling you this morning, the Bible, God's Word, is full of cheats for life. Right? It's got all this stuff that if we'll just check it out, right? And if we'll just learn what this Word has for us, if we'll just really get into it, and then we're going to learn these secrets to overcoming in life. Many of the challenges that we face in life, honestly, it's stuff that we bring on ourselves. Just stupid things that we do, stupid things that we say, and it gets us in trouble. But some of the things that we go through in life, it's not because we've done anything wrong. It's just that we don't understand God's secret for us. We don't understand God's truth for us in overcoming those different areas. And God wants us to live in victory. That's why He's given us this book. Amen? And so this morning, we're going to look at this powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. It starts in Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at the end of Ephesians 1, and then we're going to go into the first part of Ephesians 2. Okay? So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Okay? Check this out. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. I'm going to just stop right there. I want you to notice, this is so important to Paul that he's actually praying for this, for these Ephesian believers. He wants them to get this, and he's praying that they get this. So he says, I'm praying that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. You didn't know your heart had eyes, did you? This is a spiritual truth, that the understanding that we receive from God, and we sang about it this morning, from the head to the heart, the understanding that we have from God needs to be something that moves from being just up here to really getting deep into our spirits, right? That's what it means to have the eyes of your heart enlightened, are opened up, that we get understanding that's not just up here, but we get understanding in our heart. And then I want you to notice three specific things that Paul wants them to have understanding about. These are three huge words. I want you to circle them or take note of them. The words hope, riches, and power. Okay? Pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know what? The hope to which he has called you. He wants them to know the hope that they have. Okay? The riches of his glorious inheritance. He wants them to understand how rich they are in Christ. All right? And the power and the incomparably great power for us who believe. Paul says, I want you to get a hold of these three things. Get these into your heart. The hope that you have in Christ, the riches you have in Christ, and the power you have in Christ. He says, I want you to get a hold of that. Get it deep into your spirit. And that's my prayer. Paul's prayer for them is my prayer for you this morning. And so we're going to go after, especially this last word, power. Paul goes a little deeper into this in the next verse, where he says, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. And he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, that's Jesus' feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So as Paul begins here to explain to these Ephesian believers about the authority they have in Jesus Christ, the first thing he does is he starts talking about the authority that Jesus has. He wants them to know some truths about Jesus. If you really are ever going to understand who you are in Christ, then you need to understand whose you are. Okay? In order to understand, I'm going to say that again because not enough of you said amen. In order to understand who you are in Christ, the first thing you need to understand is whose you are. And the more you get a hold of who Jesus is, the more you're going to appreciate who you are in Christ. So Paul is saying here, look, Jesus is the name that's above every name. There's no name higher than the name of Jesus. Right? There's no power that's greater in this universe than the power of Jesus Christ. There's no love in all the world that's more pure than the love of Christ. There's no authority that is higher than the authority of Jesus Christ. There is nothing that's higher than him. Amen? So Paul says, look, before we talk about the authority that we have in Christ, I want you to understand the authority that Jesus has. I want you to understand just how great Jesus is, that there is no name that is greater than the name of Jesus. And then notice he says there, he says, God placed all things under his feet, under Jesus' feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Okay? He's head over everything for the benefit of the church. That's you and me. Jesus is exalted above everything for us, for you and me. When God is on our side, nothing can stand against us. Amen? Because everything submits to Jesus Christ. And there's times in our lives we feel like, man, everything's out of control. You know, what's going to happen? I want you to just settle your spirit down, and I want you to remember God has everything under control. God has it all under control. Amen? Whenever I watch Fox News, I have to tell myself, God's under control. Okay, God's under control. God's got this. Just don't watch it. Yeah, just pretend like I don't know anything. Okay. Chapter 2 and verse 1 goes on to say, okay, now he turns his attention to the church and says, here's what I want you to know. As for you, this is how they used to be, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, that's the devil, the spirit who is now at work and those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires, its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Listen, you have a very real spiritual enemy called the devil, and the devil doesn't want you to get this message today. The devil doesn't want you to know who you are in Jesus. He doesn't want you to know the victory that you have in Christ. He doesn't want you to get this, okay? But God does. Look at verse 4. But because of his great love for us, okay, that's how we used to be, but now, because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And get this. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. God raised us up with Christ, okay? He saved us, he forgave us, but he did more than that. He raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So after Jesus died on a cross, 3 days later, he rose from the dead. 40 days later, he rose into heaven. And he's seated at the right hand of God. And so Paul is saying, Jesus died for your sins. Your sins are in the past. Now, God has not only forgiven you, he's given you new life. He has raised you up with Christ, raised you from the dead. And furthermore, he has seated you with Christ at the right hand of the Father. That's an amazing thing. Now, he talks about the heavenly realms here. Heavenly realms. Paul is not talking about one day going to heaven here, because he says this is something we have when? Right now. We have it now. Okay? Notice the tense. He raised us up with Christ. He seated us with Christ. He doesn't say he will raise us up with Christ and he will seat us with Christ. This is not future tense, right? It's not future tense. This in Greek is called the aorist tense. And the aorist tense describes an event that's happened in the past, something that's happened in the past, but is ongoing in the present. Okay? So it happened in the past. He raised us up. He seated us with Christ in the past. He's already done it, but it continues to be a reality today. Does that make sense? That's the aorist tense. So when Paul talks about being raised up with Christ, he's not talking about going to heaven. He's talking about the spiritual authority that we have in Jesus Christ right now, today. Yeah. So he has raised us. And I want you to get this in your spirit today. I want you to understand who you are in Christ, that you've been raised up with Christ, that you're seated in a place of authority with Christ, because many of us, we tend to determine how we're doing spiritually, or we tend to determine our spiritual authority based on kind of emotional decisions. Like, oh, I didn't have a very good day. I must not have very much spiritual authority. Or I'm not feeling very authoritative today. I don't feel very strong in Jesus today. So I must not be very strong in Jesus today. And we kind of go with our feelings. And that's where we need to say, no. I'm not going with my feelings. I'm going with what the Bible says about me. The Bible says that I've been raised up with Christ. God's word says I've been seated at the right hand of God in Jesus Christ. So I'm in a place of spiritual strength and authority, no matter how I feel, no matter what my circumstances are, no matter what challenges I happen to be facing today, I am in a place of authority in Jesus Christ. Yeah. Come on. Get that into your heart. Let the eyes of your heart be enlightened to that truth today. Let it get deep, sink deep into your spirit. So I want to give you this morning 4 keys to walking in spiritual authority. Okay, I'm going to give you these fairly quickly. 4 keys. Okay, these are your cheats today. 4 keys to walking in spiritual authority. And we've already alluded to them somewhat in the scripture. Okay, the first thing is this: spiritual authority is established through the cross of Christ and his resurrection. Okay, so this is the anchor to spiritual authority. the cross that Jesus died on, the empty tomb, his resurrection, okay? Our victory, day-to-day victory has been established in Jesus Christ. The devil, friends, is a defeated foe. He's a defeated foe. Jesus defeated him when he resisted temptation in the wilderness. Jesus defeated the devil in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus submitted to the will of God and went to the cross. The devil was defeated by the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. The devil was defeated by Jesus' resurrection from the dead. The devil was defeated when Jesus was placed at the right hand of the Father. And one day, the devil will be permanently defeated because the Bible says he's going to spend all eternity in a place called the lake of fire. He is a defeated foe through the cross of Jesus and through his empty tomb. Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11 says, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren," that's the devil, "of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death." Friends, the devil is a defeated foe. Amen? So when we talk about spiritual victory, we need to understand Jesus has already won the victory for us. He's already done the work. He's already done the work. Secondly, spiritual authority is energized through prayer. Spiritual authority is energized through prayer. The reason a lot of people don't walk in spiritual authority is because they don't spend any time with God. Spiritual authority is not something that's just going to happen accidentally. Your power, authority, love, grace for each day, all of these things are acquired from God intentionally through discipline. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. "A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will also reap destruction, but whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Okay, sowing to the flesh, that would be sin. When we deliberately live in sin, we're sowing to the flesh, and that leads to destruction. Sowing to the Spirit means living in the Spirit. It means taking advantage of those disciplines that God has given us to be strong in the Spirit, being in the Word of God, spending time in prayer, hanging out with other Christians, worshiping Jesus in the house of God together. All of these things are like sowing seed. And as we sow those spiritual seeds, the Spirit blesses that, and we become stronger and stronger, and we walk in more and more victory. Prayer, guys, is such a cool thing. And one of the things that I love about prayer is it's something we can all do. Amen? You don't have to be a Christian for 100 years to pray. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to go to Bible college to pray. Prayer is something every single one of us can do. No matter how much we know, no matter how long we've been walking with the Lord, we can all pray. We can all take time to talk with God and listen to God every single day of our lives. Mike Bickle, in his book, Growing in Prayer, writes this: "Prayer is a means of connecting with the Holy Spirit, who energizes us to love God. Our love for God then causes us to overflow in love for others." I love that. So as we connect with God, the Holy Spirit energizes that, fills our lives, gives us more authority, more victory in our lives. One of the reasons prayer is such a powerful thing is because in prayer, we get our spirits lined up with the will of God, with the purposes of God. We get realigned. You know how you need to take your car in once in a while and get it realigned, right? You need to do that with your spirit too. because our spirits can get off. And when we spend time with the Lord, we realign our spirits with God, with His purposes, with His plans. And it makes such a huge difference in our lives. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This is a great connecting verse to the verse we just read in Ephesians about Jesus being seated at the right hand of God and us being seated with Him. It says this, since you have been raised with Christ, since you have been raised with Christ, notice once again, aorist tense, set your hearts on things above. That's what we do in prayer. Set your heart on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. This is what it means to sow to the Spirit. Get your spirit lined up with God. This is what we do when we pray. We set our hearts on Christ. We set our minds on Christ. Yeah. By the way, I need to mention this. Do you know that disunity with other people, that's going to mess up your prayer life? Do you understand that? Yeah. A lot of times, you know, we think, well, as long as things are right here, it doesn't matter how things are here. No, how things are here between other people, it always affects how things are here. Always. There's no such thing as being right here and being wrong here. Doesn't work that way. When things are out of whack here in our relationships with other people, our prayer life's not going to be what it could be. God still hears us, but I'm just telling you, you're not going to connect with God like you could if things are a mess here, okay? Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3 says this, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in what? When God's people live together in unity. It is like the precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down Aaron's beard, running down on his collar and his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Man, this is such a great passage of scripture. So what's David talking about here? This oil, that was the anointing oil that was placed on the high priest. Okay? And that oil represented the Holy Spirit. So what he's saying here is where there's unity among the brothers, there's going to be anointing from the Holy Spirit, okay? And then he goes on to talk about dew. Well, dew is refreshing, right? It's water. It brings life. It brings refreshing. And why does he say it's like the dew of Hermon falling down on Mount Zion? Well, Mount Zion doesn't usually is so arid there, it usually doesn't have any dew, but Mount Hermon does. So he's saying it's like taking the dew off of Mount Hermon and putting it on Mount Zion, where the city of Jerusalem was. Okay? It brings refreshing. And so this is what happens. When we're in unity with our brothers and sisters in Christ, there's anointing from God and there's refreshing in the Holy Spirit. Amen? And where there's disunity, I'm telling you, it's going to mess up your prayer life. Why? Because God is unity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is unity. God is all about unity. And so when we're walking in disunity, we're not going to be in harmony with God's Spirit. It's not going to happen. Okay? So, number three. I could go on a whole tangent there, but I'm not going to. Number three, spiritual authority is enforced in God's Word. It's enforced in God's Word. Okay? So we grow spiritual authority in our prayer time, but then we enforce it in God's Word. John 15:7, Jesus said this, if you remain in me and my what? My words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Read God's word. It's a gift to you. Read it. Study it. When there's something you don't understand, don't just gloss it over. Check it out. Find out what is God saying here. Memorize God's word. Meditate on God's word. Get it deep into your spirit. And then as you're doing that, This is so important. Begin to speak God's word out because it's truth. How do you overcome the lies of the enemy? With the truth of God's word. You know, the devil's a liar and he's lying to you all day long. And the way you're going to overcome, the way that you're going to counteract those lies is by speaking the truth of God's word. You overcome those lies with the truth of God's word. All right? So you're speaking truth. Instead of defeat, you're speaking victory. Instead of death, you speak life. Instead of discouragement, you speak encouragement. Instead of disunity, you speak unity. In place of sickness, we speak healing in the name of Jesus, and wholeness where there's been brokenness. We speak restoration where there's unrest. We speak peace in the name of Jesus. So get God's word into your heart, but speak it out of your mouth. Speak the truth of God's word. Now let me give you one more thing. One more thing. Spiritual authority is empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit. You will never have victory in any area of your life if you're trying to go it alone. We need the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit was poured out on the church so that they could have boldness to preach the Word of God. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live for God. So without the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, we can want to do the right thing. Our hearts can be in the right place. We can try really hard. We can be really determined. But I'm telling you, without the Holy Spirit, without the Spirit of God, without the power of the Spirit working in our lives, we will never walk in victory. We will never walk in authority. We need the Holy Spirit. Amen? And you don't need just a dab of the Holy Spirit. You don't need just a couple of drops of the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, immersed in the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible, it's interesting, the Bible uses the same word to talk about water baptism, where we dunk people completely under the water. That same word is used of the Holy Spirit, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's not an accident. That is God saying to us, I don't want to give you just a little of my Spirit. I want you to be immersed in my Spirit. I want the Spirit of God to overflow in your life. I want to fill you up with my Spirit. That's what God wants for us. Amen? Now, there's a lot of churches that won't encourage this. They don't encourage baptism in the Holy Spirit. They don't encourage talk about the Holy Spirit like he's, you know, out there somewhere. There's a lot of churches that won't really speak to you about being filled up with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they're worried about people getting weird. That's why. But listen. Who are we to say what weird is? I mean, if it means being totally in love with Jesus and on fire for God, and being a man of prayer and being in his word and talking about Jesus, if that's weird, then God, make me weird. Yeah. Just give me all you got. Many of us, we've kind of grown up with been taught a spirit of fear when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit doesn't make you more weird. The Holy Spirit makes you more normal. He makes you more normal. By God's definition of normal, not the world's. So I want to ask this morning, before we leave this place, let's all together just say, Holy Spirit, come and fill my life. I want to have victory. I want to have victory. I listed off a bunch of areas of our lives earlier in my message. I didn't do that to embarrass anybody or make you feel bad about yourself or bring condemnation. But I want to bring you back to that list again. I want you to think about these areas of your life, your thought life, your words that you're speaking, how your heart is doing, your relationships with other people, your sexuality, how things are at home, your finances, your personal habits. All of these things, I want you to think about all of these different areas. And can we this morning determine that with God's help, we're going to take authority, spiritual authority, in every area of our life. God wants you to win. The Bible says we're more than conquerors through Christ. God wants you to win. And perhaps you're here this morning, there's been an area in your life that you are just so beaten up by. I mean, you're just so tired of falling flat at your face, you've given up. You've just given up because you've just decided, I guess I can't win here. That's a lie. You can win with God's help. Amen? Some of you, you got a mountain that just seems so big. How am I ever going to get through this? Like, nothing's impossible for God. Nothing's impossible for God. Let's decide this morning, we're going to take spiritual authority through Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, in a lot of areas of life, here's a saying that we often use, and it's true of a lot of areas of life. Here's a saying that we often use. You're going to get out of it what you put into it. Right? And that's true about a lot of areas of life. It's true about, you know, physically. It's true financially. It's true about your marriage. You're going to get out of it what you put into it, basically. But I want you to know that's not true of your walk with Jesus. You know what's true about your walk with Jesus? You get way more out of it than you put into it. We get way more out of it than we put into it. But here's the deal. You got to put everything into it. You got to put everything. You got to be all in with Jesus. There's none of this, I'll be half a Christian. I'll be saved on Sundays. Now, it's living for Jesus all the time. And when we go all in with Jesus, we get way more out of it than we put in. We really do. Would you stand up this morning, worship team? Come on up. All right, all right. Let's just begin to lift our hearts to the Lord this morning. And you might want to lift your hands up and let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come this morning. Let's invite the Spirit of God to come and fill our lives. Maybe there's a particular area of your life that you feel so discouraged about. My prayer is that before you leave this place, you're going to really believe what I said earlier, that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Let's take spiritual authority in Jesus Christ. God, this morning we have read your word. And your word has told us that we have been raised up with Christ. Your word has told us that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. God, we take hold of that today and we declare that it's true because it's your word, God. It's not man's word, it's your word. So God, help us to get a hold of that. And may our hearts be opened up, God. May the eyes of our heart be opened up to see and enlightened to see, God, who we are in you, the authority that we have in you. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. As we're singing this song, I want to invite you, if you want, to just make your way right down here to the front. And we're not going to take long this morning, but I want to take a few moments this morning to just pray that the Spirit of God fills our lives. Maybe you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit before. I mean, you've asked Jesus into your heart, but you can't say I've ever had that experience of being totally immersed in the Holy Spirit. God can do that for you this morning. God will do that for you this morning. And I want to pray with you this morning that God will baptize you in his Holy Spirit. That he's going to fill your life with victory and power to overcome. So as we sing this song, just step out from where you are. Come right up here to the front. And I just want to pray over you this morning that the Spirit of God is going to fill your life and empower your life and enable you to walk and live in victory. Come on. Come on as we sing. Hallelujah.